Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, the show where we talk about musicals, all the lessons that we've learned from them, and generally how much we love them. Today we have a very special guest coming back for a repeat run. We'll introduce her in just a moment, but for now my name is Miranda Selwood. I'll be hosting the episode today, and with me at the table are
Julie Eisentrager.
And it's me, KB.
Hey girls, how are you?
Really, really good.
Good. It's so nice to be together.
Because you know what? We are all in this together.
We're all in this.
And I'd just like to take this moment to point out that if you haven't yet seen the YouTube footage of the cockatoo singing "We're All in This Together" from High School Musical, now is the moment in your life where you have to press pause on this podcast.
Link it.
Go back. Just find that.
It'll be in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes. Just watch that. Enjoy
so
it.
Concerned.
He does the key change and everything, going. Guys. It's fantastic.
First hit.
Did
on the
word cockatoo disturb you? Anyway, it's time to welcome our guest. Hello, Carly Quinn.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Good. I have to admit, though, I haven't seen the cockatoo video, so I need to. Can we pause this and all watch it now? Or?
Yeah.
No, that's a later thing? Okay, cool.
Producer says
we'll
solid
do it between
no
the sections. But for now, even though we have got to know you once before, which show did you bring us last time?
Beautiful, the Carole King musical.
Beautiful, the Carole King
good
musical.
Times.
So if you want to check the answers of the second run for the quiz through, you'll have to go back to the beautiful episode and see what Carly said then. But this is a completely different Carly, guys. Completely different,
Carly
right?
Carly 2.17. She's had
really
a few
sticking
runs.
To the twos, aren't we?
There. So we're going to do the quiz again. Are you ready for the quiz, Carly?
Look, sure. Come at me.
All right, I will.
I'm
but
kind
first,
of nodding.
There needs to be a song, Miranda.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
So hard not to harmonise.
I love that.
It's just,
that version.
I just pulled it right back.
So much.
I went acoustic.
I know I say it every time, but I think that was my favourite one.
All right.
My favourite one.
We're going to do the quiz. It'll be great. Which musical character would other people compare you to?
I have been told quite a few times, and it's usually the villain, and I'm not shocked. So like your Ursulas and your Miss Hannigans and that kind of thing. And I'm not mad about it. I've played Ursula and I was fabulous. I know self-endorsement is no recommendation, but I was fabulous.
They're also more fun. Let's be real.
And like, to be honest, that's kind of my personality naturally anyway. I'm a bit of a villain, but like a really nice fluffy pink one.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good. Is there a fluffy? We'll find
like
out later.
Toy Story guy.
Yeah,
hey.
Umbridge.
Do you smell Umbridge? Like
Umbridge is also pink and fluffy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll work on that. Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
We were talking about this earlier, and I do enjoy the idea of Hades from Hercules, gender bent, wearing a hat full of flames.
Ew.
I mean, yeah, I do. I identify with the villains. I do. I really do. But I also identify with male-originated roles, because I have played male-originated roles a few times, because guys in theatre are not a thing, apparently, in Brisbane.
They are. There are a few of them out there.
There's a few. But, like, if you could kind of put me in a beard. No, don't do that.
So that's the character you'd like people to compare you to?
Yes, because he's like...
What's Carly really like on the inside? Pretty much like Hades. Yeah. Okay, cool. And what's your dream role?
I'd love to be Maria from The Sound of Music. I really would.
I just really identify with the villains. I would like people to think that I'm Hades.
Yeah.
Maria, The Sound of Music. Perfect.
I could find a way that Maria's the villain. I could do it.
She broke up a perfectly good engagement. Yeah. And a family.
Horrible person.
Yeah. I mean, she makes Baroness Schrader.
Schrader.
She makes her look like the villain. She's just doing what she's doing.
She also made a lot of children climb a mountain. That's rude. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Like, well, we all know a ruckus in a nunnery.
Kids need more exercise these days, guys. So that's where the mountain thing came into it.
A lot of them aren't allowed outside at the moment.
What is your favourite Sondheim show?
Still is and probably always will be Company.
I really hope that's what you said last episode.
I'm 85% certain. I didn't actually check.
It always has been goofed. Company.
Always has been.
Quick fact check on that.
Probably Into the Woods. I'm like, no.
Company. What's your go-to shower song?
At the moment, it's the original cast recording of Six.
Nice.
Love it. Love it.
The whole recording.
The whole thing.
It's a long shower.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
It's not that long an album.
I do, though, my own harmonies and everything. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you, like, double, triple track in the shower?
In my head, I can.
Yeah, yeah, reverberating off the wall. She's just singing the harmonies.
It sounds good in my head, but I'm sure from the lounge room, my partner's going, what the hell's going on?
No, I'm sure it sounds even better from the lounge room.
Sure.
Yeah. I believe it. What? Sorry. Oh, gosh. It's the last question.
Oh, gosh.
It took me by surprise. You have to delete a musical from existence, Carly. You get a second stab.
Can I delete the one I deleted last year?
Sure.
Ooh. There's like three that I can't stand.
Delete all three. Why not?
Now's your time.
All right.
Bam.
The three musicals that I wish weren't a thing were, oh, God, I'm going to get so much hate. Mamma Mia.
Oh, love it. Yep, good.
Grease.
Yep.
And Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Look, I'm happy for you to cancel two completely.
And what's the third? Do you want to keep? You want to keep Rocky
Horror? I like Rocky Horror.
Yeah, most people do. That's the one I get the most hate for.
I don't love it, but I like it to be around.
When people play the Time Warp in a bar or in a jazz club or something, I'm like,
yeah,
please stop.
Nasty.
I've heard a lot of Rocky Horror. It will last me a lifetime. We can delete it.
Yeah, you're done. You're finished with it. Okay. All right.
Next.
You know, we seem to have covered that. That must have been the quickest quiz we've ever done.
Bam, bam, bam.
Do you think?
Pow, pow, pow. Good job, Carly.
Okay.
I'm going to think of my answers because now I'm changing my mind.
Oh, gosh. Do we have to do it again?
No.
Okay.
No.
Getting to
I'll come back again next year and be like, okay, so this is like an annual thing.
Yeah.
A check-in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are about to start talking about a show that you have brought us. I'm going to admit to you up front, it's not one of my favorite shows.
That's okay. You can be wrong.
But what are we talking about today?
We're talking about Godspell.
Yay! Prepare
yourself
for Godspell right after this break. Thank you for the commentary, Carly. We don't normally speak during the music, but breaking the rules, Carly quit.
She's the villain.
Okay.
Exactly. Here we go.
Such a Carly move. All right. So we're going to talk about Godspell, how it came about, a little bit about it. Godspell was written by?
Stephen Schwartz.
Anyone else?
Yes.
Lone project.
Jean-Michel Tebel. I don't know how to say it.
Jean-Michel Tebel.
Oh, I'm
I'd
sorry,
say that
Jean
was
Michael.
Pretty close.
Jean-Michel. It sounds French. I apologize if I obliterated the pronunciation of your name. So it was composed by Stephen Schwartz and he wrote the book.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
I mean, did he write the book?
Stephen Schwartz.
Okay, so that's a whole other situation.
Who wrote the book? Sorry. It's based on a book, is it?
It's based on a book written by a few dudes a while ago.
Jesus Christ. And his friends.
I don't think Jesus Christ wrote
the Bible.
He just inspired it.
Yeah. Okay. He just told some stories and people were like, cool.
I write that down.
Yeah. Well, they passed it on verbally for a really long time and then they decided to write it down hundreds of years later. So it's definitely word for word, 100% accurate.
And then hundreds of years after that, Stephen Schwartz said, hey, let's turn it into a musical.
Because why not?
So Godspell is essentially would we call it a review musical?
Maybe because it's
a biblical jukebox.
A biblical jukebox it's show.
Like, or biblical vignettes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's structured as a series of parables, and parables in the Bible are sections of small stories. Mm-hmm. So technically it's not one big story, it's a review. So, Miranda, tick, correct, well done.
Woo! All right.
I've read the Bible.
Now that I've done the dissertation on the structure of Godspell, are you ready to give us the storyline in inverted commas?
Sure.
In 2 minutes. The 2 minute rundown of everything that happens in Godspell.
Everything that happens.
Everything that happens in Godspell.
I'm not going to give you everything that happens. I'll just tell you a little bit about it because I think we'll go more into detail. We can talk about it later.
We want to know what happens in it. I don't want to walk in there and be like, what is this story about? I want you to tell me.
And your time starts now.
So Godspell is a musical composed by Stephen Schwartz and Jean-Michel Tebelec. The show opened off-Broadway in 1971. It's been produced lots and lots and lots of times. I saw it in Brisbane it was a while ago, so like 1992, I'm not sure. Might have been 2007, either or. Really great. It's structured, as I said before, as a series of parables from the Bible, specifically the Gospel of Matthew. They're interspersed with music set primarily to lyrics from traditional hymns. So from like the Passion of Christ appearing briefly near the end of the show. So Passion of Christ is where Christ dies, gets crucified up on the cross. It started as a little project by drama students at Carnegie Mellon, actually. So it was like hey, let's put together a little review. And ended up on Broadway for a while. It then spawned a movie, and there was another revival in 2011, and the cast recording was quite good, but it only ran for 8 months before closing, which I was much, much, much upset by. It is based on the life of Jesus Christ, so there's lots of stories, and I mean, I don't want to spoil it for people.
I mean, give us like five of the 13. Like, just like, what are the moments?
Give us your highlights.
Just like your favorite moment.
My highlights.
Is she like a Beatitudes gal? Is she like
a Beatitudes gal? I mean, I have read the Bible. It was a while ago. It was a good time. But specifically, I like the opening where it opens with God's voice and as spoken by Jesus declaring his supremacy, like, my name is known, God and King. I am most in majesty, in whom no beginning may be and no end. And like, there's this big monologue and it's verbatim from the Bible. And I mean, I was raised Catholic and I remember sitting there watching it going, oh, okay, I resonate with this. This is interesting. But the person I went with wasn't and was like, what is this? I was like, what is that?
That's the 2 minute timer, but we're sort of given up on that anyway. So let's just keep on keeping on. What happens next?
So there are a few other stories that happened. There's John the Baptist that comes in and have some chats. I'm really destructuring the entire musical.
That's what we're here for, man.
Yeah. So there's a cast of people and they're all kind of dressed as clowns and hippies and stuff. And in the very beginning, John the Baptist baptizes everybody. So that's the song Prepare Ye, and it's all Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. And they all come in and they get baptized and they're like, yay, God is amazing. And it's a really uplifting, fluffy, wonderful, positive musical until Jesus dies at the end. Oh, spoilers, sorry. Jesus dies at the end of the Bible.
I don't think that's a spoiler, really.
Gosh, I sincerely hope not.
So does it play, like, does the cast have designated roles or is it a...
Yes,
Everyone plays lots of different roles.
I mean, it's one of those shows where I could play a few different roles because it's not a this person is this and this person is that and then is that. It's very ensemble heavy, which I like because it's shared amongst everybody. Obviously Jesus is the lead.
I was going to say, do they have a through Jesus?
No. They have a what?
Like one, it does Jesus, one Jesus the whole time.
Yes.
Through Jesus.
Yes. I mean, is one Jesus.
You could have multiple if that's the choice you've made.
That's great. Come back
and act two. Jesus or Jesus.
Come back at act two and Jesus is female and now Chinese. Hey.
I could be about that.
I could be. Oh.
Stephen Schwartz is also not opposed to that.
No,
somebody asked how he would feel about a female Jesus. And he's like, look, it wouldn't have been the choice I would have made in the original production, but times have changed, so go do for it.
Well done, Stephen Schwartz.
Yeah.
Would you like to know the stories that are listed in this?
Yeah.
So we have the parable of the widow and the judge, Pharisee and the publican, parable of the unforgiving servant. We've got the Good Samaritan, classic. You went to a Good Samaritan school like I did. We have Lazarus. There's the Beatitudes. There's a parable of the sower of the seeds, parable of the prodigal son, and props a few more if I'm honest.
There is.
Yeah, but those are the ones that are like, here, take that.
I like the parable of the sower of the seeds because it has all good gifts, which is such a beautiful song. It's especially in the revival cast recording from 2011. Telly Leung sings it and it's just so pretty.
So what sort of music is featured throughout? You were saying before that a lot of the lyrics are based on biblical text and hymns.
Mm.
Does it feel like going to church? Do they feel like hymns? Does it feel like a gospel show? Does it feel
the
like...
The original? Definitely. I listened to both of them in the last week or so trying to prepare. Yeah, the 1971 version was very Jesus heavy, was very like, oh, okay, these are hymns but sung by clowns. The revival cast recording done in 2011 is probably one of my favourite revival recordings of all time, mm-hmm. next to the revival
good.
Of mm-hmm. Oklahoma.
It's like, very that's, good.
Like, in terms of like where they've taken the show.
They've modernized
like, yeah,
the heck out of it.
I can listen to this.
Yeah. And that's the thing I've been
arrangements
trying.
Arrangements are completely different.
Yeah.
Right?
So different. Yeah. And they've modernized a lot of the score as well. So it's not a lot. It's not really orchestra heavy. It's more like a small chamber ensemble. Mm-hmm. A lot more piano.
Such as the clowns would have.
Yeah, absolutely. The clowns just, you know, carry
it reminds
around
me of like a church band at the same time though. Like
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, of a modern church. You're like, oh yeah, I could see how this could be played in church.
Because I tried to sell this to a friend of mine to put it on last year, and it turns out she was listening to the 71 version. She was like, oh, I'm not a fan. And then I played her, I think it was Beautiful City from...
I mean, if you watch that like, version, that's also...
Yeah, absolutely.
Hunter Parrish.
Yeah, look, he's not bad. He's not bad. But yeah, no, I played her that, and she went, what musical is this from? Thinking, oh, my goodness, okay. No, we can modernize. We can modernize, yeah. guys.
Artistic I think license. This is like the script to do that with too, because it already yes. had so much room for improv and updating it on the reg anyway, that why not also update the music along with it? If you're going to update the script.
Absolutely.
Then why not? It seemed silly that they didn't do it before 2011.
The world has changed in 40 years.
Yeah.
So was Stephen Schwartz involved in that update of the material?
Yes.
Okay.
The end.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't realize it was a yes or no question. I'm sorry. Okay. Anything else about the history of the show?
The film was Victor Garber's debut like film. Like he'd been in the original Canadian cast of the show, but he'd never done film before. And now all we see him do is on screen.
Get pooped.
But Godspell was the first one. How crazy is that?
That is super crazy.
I love Victor Garber.
Look at him. Look at him.
He's a good time.
So much.
He's money.
So good. And also Robin Lamont was the only cast member to do she was in the original. Oh, he was in the... I didn't actually check that. They were in the original Robin Lamont.
Okay, continue.
Were in the original off-Broadway cast, the movie cast, and the Broadway cast. The only cast member to do all three.
All three.
Yeah. Oh,
turns out
ran
I can't
the
check.
Full gauntlet.
Ran the full gauntlet.
And the revival?
Cool. No. And the revival as a stagehand.
No.
No.
No, no. Not quite.
No. But it had a really great... The revival had a great cast.
Yes.
And they all used their actual names as their character names.
I thought
which
that was...
I don't think
very
they did
Brecknell.
In the original. So
yes.
It made it a little bit more personal, I think.
Yeah.
Other than Hunter Parrish. He was playing Jesus.
Yeah, that might be a bit.
It's a little hard to get
Jesus
around that.
Jesus' name
to Hunter, yeah.
It's a bit
obviously.
Off.
Cool. Well, any other tidbits? Or are we ready for Bad Reviews with Julie?
Bad Reviews with Julie.
Loved
oh
it.
Oh my God.
So this review comes from the New York Times by Clive Barnes, written May 18th, 1971. This was like from an actual piece of newspaper that has been translated onto the interwebs.
Oh my
god. It's a good time.
Wow.
Anyway, so most of this review, he's like, yeah, it's all right. It's not bad. It's okay. We get to the end. Apart from the music, there was an air of charades to the whole thing, a certain atmosphere of amateurism that is pleasant enough to encounter almost anywhere but in professional theatre. Still, it's an honest attempt to make Jesus into a musical comedy star, and there may well be those who will find freshness and originality here where I could discover only a naive and fey frivolity.
Wow. Ooh.
I mean, Godspell is quite a playful musical, so yeah. He may have just been seeing the actors have fun and go, oh, well, they're not taking theatre seriously.
He might have been like, they're not taking the Bible seriously.
I'm offended.
Was there a bit of that when it came out? Like when Jesus Christ Superstar came out, that was a thing.
Yeah. People like, excuse me?
Yeah. Was there any backlash from...
Let's have a look.
From the community or the religious community?
I don't know. I don't really remember 1971 well, but...
Does this sort of treat the stories a little more like parables?
I think because they told a section of stories from the Gospel of Matthew and they didn't focus on Jesus's last, 30 days of life, which is what Jesus Christ Superstar did, and they made it... fun and lighthearted. I think if people are offended by musicals, then I mean, come on, they're musicals.
People were offended.
Julie's just checked.
Julie's checked, and offended. People were offended. Well, one of the biggest things that people were offended by in Jesus Christ Superstar was that Jesus was portrayed as a human man with fault.
Oh, how dare they!
So Godspell does treads that line differently.
Yeah. So this is on the wiki for anyone who wants to read the wiki. The social statement made by Godspell when it first premiered was a serious one at the time when Christianity in the United States was being pulled in different directions. Interest in the mainstream Christianity was dwindling, especially among the youth who wanted to leave the church but not Christianity. Godspell captured this youthful sentiment that reimagined Jesus as a hippie in more of a primitive expression of their faith. So at a time when people were like, nah, this musical brought the Jesus back to the youth, which is kind of cool.
It's like, let's take Jesus and rock music and like smash the two together.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber's like, yeah, good idea.
Andrew Lloyd Webber pulled a classic Webber and was like, I can do that.
But I wouldn't really call Godspell rock music though in that original recording.
Not
in
the original.
When you follow the track through... Like, I listen to Godspell and I'm not particularly inspired by the music. I'm not personally inspired by the story because I'm not a religious person by nature or nurture. I don't adore this musical. But people who do, perhaps like yourself, Carly, really love the music in this show.
It's because when I was in my church choir and, oh, God, you're about to learn something about me. I wanted to freshen up the music just a scotch, and I brought some sheet music from Godspell. Like, oh, what's this? This is beautiful. This is, Gospel of Matthew. This is lovely. And I had them all singing Godspell in the church choir, and they had no idea.
Did Stephen Schwartz know? Because my next step is...
I didn't sell tickets, though, so is that fine?
Yeah, yeah.
I find it difficult to believe that the same person who wrote this wrote Wicked. Because the musical style is so completely different in every way.
But also think of the time.
He learned some stuff in 20 years.
Yeah, there's a massive time difference between 71 and when Wicked was written. Taste developed.
And also who you're working with too. Like, we don't know how much old mate John Michael brought to the table. So,
and I mean, both of the musicals are based on books, so...
Yeah.
You just read a better book?
Yay.
a shorter book.
We're going to move on to the lessons we've learned from Godspell. So, Julie, you want to bring up that list of parables again? We're about to use it. Here we go. What lessons did we learn from Godspell, the musical?
That we didn't already know from the Bible.
I'm not being that specific. I think that there are plenty of people who would hear and experience these stories for the first time by watching the musical.
100%.
There may be plenty of people who would call themselves religious who would still be in that position. Because I know plenty of Christians who haven't read the Bible.
It's so true.
It's a long book. You know, it's
she's not a page turner, guys.
And then, you know, you got to get through it. Anyway.
Some of the Old Testament.
Oh, yes. Good but stuff. What are the big take-home messages from Godspell?
I think the biggest one is, and it's so cliched, but it's do unto others as you would want done unto you.
Mm.
Basically, don't be a dork.
Don't be a butthead. We'll
don't be a butthead.
Oh, I like that one. Yeah, just be a good human. I mean, there's a lot of really good parables. I like, as I said before, parable of the sower. Because, I mean, Jesus is talking to a large crowd and tells of a farmer who sows seed and does so indiscriminately. And seed falls on the path with no soil and some on rocky ground with little soil and some contains thorns. And basically, long story short, he's saying that the seed represents the gospel and the sower represents anyone who proclaims it. And, you know, basically, this is my word and if you follow me, life could be good. But you have to make that decision. You have to make that choice.
That was his shtick, you know?
Yeah, man.
Jesus was
he put it really out in the world.
Just about. Just do to other people as you do to yourself. Like, but just be nice, okay?
But also be kind to yourself. And that, like, for me, when I was growing up, if you're the seed and you put yourself into environments where you're not going to thrive and you're not going to grow, you're also going to suffer. And I think that's where a lot of these come up in Godspell that I saw this show for the first time when I was 12 years old. Again, I grew up very Catholic in Catholic schools. The Catholic high school that I was going to was putting it on, so we went and saw it. And a lot of that made it more personable. Like, I'd heard it in church and I'd heard it in school, but seeing Godspell and seeing it in front of me, I was like, oh, I understand this on a personable level now, not necessarily as just text and story.
Made it more relatable.
But it made it more relatable.
Yeah, it's a more palatable form of some of these Bible stories.
Yeah, true. I also learned massively, like, for the musicals I'd seen prior to that, there wasn't really any play involved in it. You got given a script, you learnt the script, you did the character as was written, but this was the first time I'd ever seen fun improv play in a musical. And I remember Gillian Cosgrove, for anyone from Brisbane or in Melbourne, she's currently in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, was playing one of the roles, and she did this Irish skit about McDonald's in Godspell, and it was very, like, I just was like, what is going on? I love it. It's hilarious. And I'm so with you, but I didn't know you could do that in musical theatre.
There was a few moments like that, like, hang on, you lost me. What?
Yeah.
Why are you talking? Okay, sure.
Is that? But that's a way of keeping engagement in the moment with the audience, and that is a huge. Like, any teacher will tell you, engagement is the one thing that allows learning to happen.
Absolutely.
So you can have all the information, you can spout it out, but unless somebody is listening, actually actively listening, and that's improv is a great way to do that. Absolutely. Because there's no way for anybody in the room to have an expectation of what's going to happen and sort of turn off. No. They've got to stay focused.
Because they don't know what's happening, but also the capability then of what an actor was. That was the it opened my eyes to that. It wasn't just someone who learnt a script and did a thing. It was someone who got to explore on so many different levels. So I was like, yep, that's what I want to do.
Like a real performer.
I want to,
Just a,
so this was the show that did it
for me.
KB.
Yeah, I was like, I want to do that.
Wow, Godspell.
Yeah, have fun. I know, who would have thought?
Mine was sadly Mamma Mia.
Who, for a girl who now only goes to church at Christmas.
But I'll see you there.
No, you won't.
We did last year.
Really?
Yeah, it was
that
super
is
weird.
The cutest thing in the world.
Not planned.
So basically, end of the message is, let's just be nicer to each other. And that couldn't be more prevalent than right now, today.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Ever and always.
Yeah.
Really.
Be nice to everybody and to yourself. Bit of self-love.
All right. Are we ready to move on to our dream cast?
Are we ever?
Yes.
Dreamcast, dreamcast.
cast it.
You know who's a lot like Hunter Parrish?
Me.
Zac Efron.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. Yes, he is.
Andrew Miranda. Yeah.
Okay, so Zac Efron is playing the role of
Jesus.
Yes. Have you seen his beard lately?
Choices.
Isn't he in Australia?
He is. Sure, he's in Byron Bay, like just 3 hours away.
Hey, Zach, you're like not far.
If you want to come and sing Beautiful City or an audition for the production that
you don't have to audition, it's yours.
Not putting on.
Dude, make him audition so you get to listen to him.
Oh, true. You have to audition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the role is yours.
Okay, so that's that sorted. We have our Jesus.
Yeah.
You could go to...
And we're done.
The casting of Zac Efron has never been so easy, and I'm so happy. Thank God Zayn isn't on this episode. I'm sure he would have something to say about it.
He would say,
you can't do that.
Or he would smile and say, you know what? You're exactly right.
He just looked at the buttons to mute us all, by the way.
I would go either two very different ways casting the show. I'd go a cast of completely unknowns. Or an absolute star-studded cast of your, like, Anna Kendricks, your Hunter Parrish's obviously has already done it, Jonathan Groff, those kind of, Anthony Ramos.
Expensive.
You know, like, you know, right?
You know what you could do just for fun? You could have a, like, I see this is like a Disney Plus special. I think
yeah.
that's Encore's fault. But like a Disney Plus special where you get a whole bunch of preachers to come and perform Godspell.
They've got good.
2 weeks to do it. I think mean, give Encore, them two. Like they're busy on Sundays.
They are busy.
I just want to see what happens. Could be.
Can
amazing.
They sing or are they just like?
I feel like they all can sing. Like that's my a parish priest
can not.
Can?
Can not. Absolutely not sing.
So. Look, maybe we have like throw one or two in there just for entertainment purposes that yep. can't really sing.
You could make it like you could have sisters and like nuns and brothers and
yeah.
all. You could have them all in there. Yeah. They don't have to just be preachers.
Throw them in there, see what happens.
You know, just yes. see what happens.
Interesting concept.
Mm. Can I be in it? Because I really want to be in it.
Are you a nun or a preacher?
I've played a nun.
You have.
Who hasn't? Is the actual question.
I was going to say I haven't, but I have.
I have. You have. Maybe you
I have.
Yeah, we've all played nuns.
The first time I did Sound of Music, I was a nun.
Zayn? Producer Zayn has not played a nun.
Yet.
I mean. Yet. Have you played like a monk?
It might brother? Happen.
Any religious figure?
No.
No. Wow.
What about, nope, you didn't play him. Never mind.
Interesting.
No, what about the guy this in is the Guys and Dolls?
Where we're now having a conversation with someone who isn't on mic. So we should probably just get back to the casting. If this is a show that is meant to be performed in context by clowns, could we, cast it entirely with comedians?
I was just like, thinking
I think
that.
Stand-up comedians.
Frank Woodley would be excellent in this show.
Yeah. Just a bunch of people who are great at stand-up, improv.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I would like
Celia
to
Piccola
see.
Celia Piccola in this show would be
and
the best.
Luke McGregor as Jesus would make my day. How much money would you pay to see that?
Well, I kind of like the juxtaposition. No, that's not the word I'm looking for. Of having Zac Efron
as Jesus.
I think surrounded by Australian comedians.
The only person who's taking this seriously. Surrounded by Australian comedians.
Like Doorog Jayasinghe, Celia Piccola.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think this
funny.
Is a great
this
idea.
Ursula Carlson, I think she can
very
sing.
Very good
Sam
show.
Simmons.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
See what he would do with Godspell. I'm scared already.
Nick Cody, but he has to
Nick
keep growing
Cody
the beard.
Nick Cody would be great. Pretty much anyone who just did Last One Laughing can do, the cast of Last One
anyway,
Laughing can do Godspell.
I haven't seen it. No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, then that's done. Let's move on to top five lists. Top five easiest shows to cast Zac Efron in, which I'm surprised by.
Yeah.
How many times have you said that sentence in your life?
We actually
this is the first.
Haven't. I don't think so.
Not that easily.
Not that easily.
Where he just yeah. slots in.
Consensus.
Replaces done. Another performer. Done.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Top five biblical musicals.
Hey.
How about top five kick butt revivals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on there.
Yeah. I'm about it.
Come at me list.
Top five musicals based on books.
Oh, there's a lot on there.
It's in mine. It's
people not making often it try in and there. Throw this out there. That, no.
This I'm would be like no. a book to musical to film to musical. Top five book to film to musical to film, whatever we're at now.
Oh, gosh. Bless your heart.
I don't even know if this makes top five Stephen Moore.
I mean, it does for me, but...
It does for Stephen Schwartz. And this is the thing.
Okay, well, that's
Stephen
good.
Schwartz.
He backs his own work and I like it.
Really backs Godspell. He
God save the people.
I think that he saw it very much as a turning point and catalyst to the rest of his career.
And know? Also probably, like, if Godspell hadn't happened, would have Jesus Christ Superstar or Children of Eden or anything that followed it. I don't know.
Wicked. We don't know.
We don't know.
There might have been something that, I mean, 20 years.
But yeah.
Who knows?
She tries to remain positive.
I would say it is one of the top five Stephen Schwartz, even though I don't especially for that reason.
It's a good time.
For that reason. Any more?
I don't have any more, no.
Oh, it's a short list.
Top five. Does producer Zane have any more?
Four,
no.
Top three. Five Victor Garber musical.
Oh, yes. There we go.
Absolutely.
And we will end it there. So thank you very much for coming on, Carly. That was harder to say than I thought it was
going to
be.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll fix it in post.
We won't.
Always say that. Never do. Do you have anything going on in the near future that you'd like to plug?
Dude, nobody has anything going on at the moment.
Do you have anything going on in the far extended future that you'd like to plug?
Look, if the theatres open back up, maybe Rock of Ages at BTG at the moment. That's still happening and I'm still in it.
At some point, maybe.
I am doing some gigs around Brisbane Gold Coast with a band called Absolute Suave. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook. They're amazing. I can sing.
Cool.
I'm mostly an actor, but I can sing.
Yeah. And congratulations also on still appearing everywhere I see Lotto ads.
It's
set for life.
That is an orange shirt that won't die. Like, it was one day's work and I was on a bus last week and I'm like, oh, okay.
It's always fun.
You mean
when
you're
like
literally on a bus. Your face
on
is
the
on
side
the bus.
Of a bus.
Yeah.
It's always fun to walk down the street and just be like, oh, hey, Carly.
Slash
any one of our friends, really.
Really?
There was a little pocket of time at the start of this year.
It was early
this year. Where
bam,
it was
bam, bam.
Just, yeah.
Jessica Kate was on the... There was a cattle
that she was on.
Heidi was on a billboard just
Steve,
right near my house.
Steve,
on every show. Shouts out to all the locals and also to the companies who use Brisbane locals for their advertising.
Thank you for being in Brisbane. It is a
rare and beautiful thing that we love to see. Well, thank you once again. Did you enjoy yourself talking about Godspell?
Absolutely. I mean, I love musicals and I wish more people loved them. And I think with like things like Hamilton coming up on Netflix, people are going, oh, musical theatre is fun. I'm like, yes, yeah. I've tried to tell you for years, Mum.
Anybody else notice that Newsies is called The Newsboys?
What?
Yeah.
Not on Disney Plus.
Yes.
It's good. The movie or the musical?
The musical. No, it came up yesterday as The Newsboys.
Isn't it say Newsies,
not
the Broadway musical?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Well, we're going to investigate that. Yeah. But in the meantime, my name is Miranda Selwood. Thank you for listening. This is KB.
Hello. I mean, goodbye.
Goodbye. This is Julie.
Also goodbye.
I'm knocking things over. And you can find us in all the usual places, including patreon.com/musicals taught me everything I know. So we look forward to hearing from you and we will see you for another episode next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
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 Let's talk about X, baby.
Crappy relationships, the bane of our collective existence. But what do we learn from our mistakes?
I'm relationship columnist Liz Bess.
And I'm funny guy Tom Harris.
Ghosts of Boyfriends Past will chat to guests about love gone wrong and take you on a journey through the funny, tragic, horrifying...
And sometimes just plain bonkers stories about that crazy little thing called love. It's like a group therapy session.
With two people completely unqualified to be leading it. New episodes drop fortnightly on Thursday, so join in to hear tales of heartbreak and woe and hopefully wind up a little wiser or drunker for it.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.